Well, it's our privilege to read further from the Holy Bible, and we're going to read now from the song we've been singing from Psalm 106. So let's read Psalm 106, the first 8 stanza, and then we also want to read from the New Testament, Luke 1, verse 67 to 79. So first Psalm 106, and then Luke 1. Hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the good of your chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not your wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of your mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. So far from Psalm 106, and then we go to Luke 1. And in Psalm 106, I should just mention our text is verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that you bear unto your people. O visit me with your salvation. And then we go to Luke 1, beginning at verse 67. This was just after the birth of John the Baptist and his being named John the Baptist. And then we read, and his father Zacharias, verse 67, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, speaking of John the Baptist, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So far the reading of the Lord's word. May just the reading of his word be a great blessing to us. Our main text for this morning, dear congregation, is Psalm 106, verse 4. Where the psalmist prays to God, Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Specifically, let us focus on the desire of the believer expressed here. O visit me with thy salvation. And then let us zero in on that word, visit. The psalmist is asking the Lord to come as divine visitor in his life. He is requesting a blessed visit from and with the Lord. Do you see that with me? The request is found in a psalm that in the first part is filled with praise and prayer to God. And after the introductory section of praise and prayer, From verses 6 to 44, you find a lengthy section of repeated, specific confession of sin and of repentance before God. And then the psalm ends with three hearty verses of dependence on God and doxology before God. It is clear from the whole context, the prayer to God, "O visit me," is a sincere request to the Lord to come and show his saving mercy and comforting help to the psalmist and for us in our lives. From out of a setting of realizing how we live in a fallen world and that of ourselves we are a guilty and a sinful people without hope and without help in and of ourselves, in that context, the psalmist is asking, "Lord, please come down and come near to my rescue and for my deliverance from all my sins and sinfulness and from all my foes inside me and all around me. There is no escape for me except, O Lord God Almighty, most gracious, you come down to be my Savior, my Helper, true and ever near, and that you visit with me with your salvation." The verb to visit here refers to coming in love, coming alongside of us in compassion, coming alongside of us with divine help to provide remedy and almighty deliverance in all our needs and stresses and dangers. Well, I ask you, dear congregation, does this not become the prayer of all God's people in one form or another when truly saved? Visit me, O Lord, with your salvation. God's true people have learned something of their great need as guilty, fallen sinners by nature, and they have come to trust in the Lord God of the Bible as their one and only real refuge and hope in time of trouble. When you are a Christian, isn't it true? By God's grace, you know and believe there is a Savior of sinners, and he has divine solution for us in our every need. And this we discover and delight in as the Lord time and again visits with us, visits with you and me, with his salvation. Do you this morning pray with the psalmist, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that you bear to your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation"? The theme for the sermon is blessed visitation from and with the Lord. Yes, dear congregation, belonging to Christ, because isn't the gospel truth, when we think of the blessed visitation in and from the Lord, isn't the gospel truth that the prayer of the believing psalmist from long ago and from all God's people throughout the ages is, the prayer here of our text is one that God most wonderfully answers and has answered and continues most graciously to answer? Isn't this indeed the gospel message, ultimately, that in the fullness of time, God did as he always promised he would do, even from the day Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden? Yes, God sent his Son into this world to visit with us. He sent his Son into this sin-cursed, corrupted world of sinners to accomplish plenteous redemption on sinners' behalf. And all through the Old Testament, God visited with his people in types and shadows and in specific foreshadowings of various kinds, all in preparation and in anticipation of the ultimate visit of Christ, the Messiah himself, come down to this earth, sinners to save. Is this not what explains the doxology of Zechariah, when in celebration of the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, that godly priest praises the Lord with Jesus coming, saying, as we read in Luke 1, verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." every time we gather as Christian church for the worship services, and wherever this happens in all the world, we know God is visiting also with his people, isn't he? In a special way to make clear his salvation for all his own. Today, with word and sacrament, you and I here in church may commemorate and celebrate that God has and does visit with his people. And he delights to do so and to show them his salvation. As stated in Psalter 402, which we hope to sing from later on, based on Psalm 147, his statutes and his judgments, he makes his people know, to them as to no others, his grace he loves to show. How we should be so humbled and thankful also today that God here will visit with us for the purpose of showing us his love, his care, his salvation in and through Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer. With word and sacrament, are we not reminded this morning of how the Lord Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down to visit us, to visit here on this earth? Are we not reminded how while Jesus was on earth, always only living the perfect, sinless life, yet on him was laid the iniquity of us all, meaning of all his people? And he was visited with divine judgment and punishment for those sins, not for sins of his own, he had none, but for the sins of his people. Yes, even to the death of the cross, that through his shed blood, sinners like us might be saved. Christ visited this earth, going about only always doing good, yet he was despised and rejected of all people. And still he continued to serve, giving his life a ransom for many. None of us can ever save ourselves, for neither you nor I can ever present to God on our own a sinless life on our part. And no one of us can ever pay the full just punishment for sin that we deserve on our own. But the gospel tidings are, this is exactly what Jesus came to do in the place of sinners when he came here to visit with us. He came as a divinely sent and equipped substitute for sinners to suffer and to die. He came to visit with us, sent of the Father, anointed by the Holy Spirit, to lay down his life for sinners, sinners like us. He came with saving power. He came to visit with saving power and love and mercy and with full and free salvation accomplished by him to give it to us for all who trust and follow him. So we read, for instance, in Zechariah 9, verse 9, this exhortation to God's people, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, this is ever the good news. It's the glad tidings of great joy. The Lord has condescended toward us in infinite mercy and grace, and he made a way to visit with us, not to consume us in his anger, but to bless us with his love, with his saving help, for now and forever. What great cost, though, to Jesus in so visiting with us. And with the broken bread and the poured out wine, which we will shortly witness, and God's people here will participate in as confessing Christians, members of his church. Are we not to remember by that how Jesus so inexpressibly suffered in body and soul? We were talking about that in the consistory room before we came in. How he suffered so inexpressibly, especially on the cross, sinners to save. Indeed, is not this the gospel truth? That Jesus suffered what is at least equivalent to the eternal anguish of hell, as we deserve that of ourselves. He suffered that all in soul and body, that as the just for the unjust, he might bring us to God and have all his people, as many as repent and believe on him, be perfectly reconciled to God through his finished work, through his shed blood on sinners' behalf. Doesn't Paul say then with passion, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Does it lead you to pray, oh, visit me with your salvation? This morning, as you too pray this in your mind and heart, dear confessing believers, knowing your unworthiness in yourself, oh Lord, visit me with your salvation. Be assured, this is what God is out to do. This is what he delights to do. He visited with Adam and Eve, even the day they fell, and they terribly rebelled against God, and they were hiding in the garden in their pain and shame. He came after them. He visited with them to pronounce the gospel, which all through the generations he has stayed true to. God has proved true to his word, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so Zechariah, he says in verse 68 again of Luke 1, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And then Zechariah goes on. Yes, he's visited through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high, meaning also you could say the day star or the sun rising from on high, has visited us. For what purpose? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Oh, how beautiful and rich these gospel tidings are, truly. Jesus comes to this earth as Savior, and his visit is described as the rising sun with healing under his wings. What a beautiful picture. With Jesus and his saving work, you and I may find light in the darkness, all within us of ourselves and all around us too. With Jesus and his saving work, we can find victory over all sin, and even over death and eternal judgment. Are you sitting in darkness today, feeling the fear and oppression of Satan and death against you, feeling the power of sin also, even in this last week, you're in darkness? Listen, Jesus with his visiting on this earth has come to bring light in the darkness and to destroy the works of the devil and the devil himself. And with him and his shed blood, the light of the gospel may shine. And we may know, as many as repent of sin and trust in him, all our sins may be washed away. And the sting of death be removed. And escape from hell be guaranteed. And entrance to heaven be our inheritance. Through him, Jesus Christ. With him as our heavenly visitor, come to this earth to seek and to save the lost. Come with salvation in every way. Wow. Oh, truly now, no one ever needs to be living in daily despair and hopelessness. No, never again. With Jesus having come to visit on this earth, rather, he has come. He makes for his people all things work together for good to them that trust and love him, even some of those darkest and most difficult times in your life. Blessed visitation from and with the Lord. That's been our theme this morning, based on the scripture readings we read from Psalm 106 and Luke 1. Do you see the basis for this sermon theme? And do you, with mind and heart, echo this theme now? Even if presently in your circumstances of life, you may experience yourself to be sitting in darkness, dwelling in darkness, Because there's so much oppression and struggle in different ways. Is it your prayer with the psalmist, even from that place? Oh, visit me with your salvation. I tell you in Jesus' name, the Lord loves to answer such petition, such prayer. And he has answered it most wonderfully, and he continues to answer it for all who ask him. The Lord is the good shepherd of his sheep, and there's no pastoral care as found with Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. He hears our cries 24/7 and is always most willing and ready to help in our every need. The Gospels tell us how Jesus had special care even for those who no one else seemed much to care about. Those who others wrote off. There is no one Jesus refuses to visit with who calls out to him, "Oh, visit me with your salvation." Will you come this morning as confessing Christian to taste and see afresh and anew that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man, the woman that trusts in him. When you look up all the references in the Bible where this verb to visit is used, then you discover that God visits his people, or that God visits people also in anger and in holy judgment. Who does he visit that way? Well, all who refuse to repent of sin and will not trust and follow Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord. The divine visitation of eternal punishment and everlasting doom is sure for all who reject Christ. We read in Isaiah 10 verse 3, the solemn, earnest question then, quote, "And what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help?" And the gospel point is, you see, now is yet the day of grace for us. And the Lord is still going about to visit with his saving grace, with his saving power, his saving help for all who come to him. In Psalm 106, verse 6 to 8, we read, the psalmist confessed, "We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known." Doesn't this call us? Call to us all to ask the Lord to visit with us, each one in his mercy and grace, and before the last judgment day come, when mercy will never more be offered to anyone, and the day of salvation will be forever past. Will any among us live and die always still pushing away, despising and rejecting God visiting this earth in his mercy and love in Christ Jesus the Savior? I heard from a friend this week who told me at university she met a student who formerly was in her Sunday school class, not from our church. But this person whom she met said to her he didn't believe the Christian message of the gospel, and he didn't need any so-called religious, delusive crutch in his life. And this friend asked my wife and me to pray for that student, that his eyes might be opened before it is forever too late. Children and young people in church, let me ask you, and everyone in church here, do you pray to the one true God of the Bible with the psalmist of old? "Oh, visit me with your salvation." Isn't the only alternative to this to be visited with divine, righteous judgment? This is the truth, the only hope for this fallen world, guilty in sin and corrupted in sin, is that in the fullness of time, the divinely promised Messiah, Savior, God, came down from heaven and visited us. He came and visited with us in the personal work of Jesus Christ, mighty to save, and with him is plenteous redemption for all who trust and follow him. When you trust and follow this only Savior and rely on him, what reasons to rejoice in his visiting with us to seek and to save. And when you know this Savior, don't you say then with the psalmist of Psalm 8 and with the believer of Hebrew 2, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I mean, what grace, what mercy and love that God should give his only beloved son and send him into this world of sinners to save such as we. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And how great and good of God that now also with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Lord would assure his people how he has visited and how he delights to visit with us, showing his salvation on sinners' behalf. Indeed, do we not have to say, even with the Lord's Supper, our Savior God, he's saying to us with divine gospel sign and seal that he will not rest satisfied until all his people are forever with him in the glories of heaven. You know, each Lord's Supper celebration, when seen rightly by us, is not about actually Jesus coming down again to visit with us. But actually it's Jesus the Savior by the sacrament through his Spirit inviting us to visit with him as ascended Savior in heaven. And there he will give us a foretaste of the eternal feast and glory to come, forever home with him in the new heavens and in the new earth, as we come in remembrance of him and his finished work when he came to visit with us. So also the form for the Lord's Supper that we use before coming to the Lord's Supper instructs us rightly on the basis of Scripture. When we come, we are called not to cleave with our hearts to the external bread and wine, but to lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, where also all the articles of our faith lead us. Did not Jesus pray in this light too, as we read in John 17, 24, the night before his crucifixion, he prayed, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." The Lord visiting with us in and through Christ Jesus, you know what? This is beautiful. He won't be content till all his people are forever residents with him. Not visitors, but residents with him in his Father's house, with his many mansions, namely in the new heavens and earth to come. Oh, what a rich and wonderful gospel this is. Don't you think and say so too? The purpose of word and sacrament among us today, dear congregation, is that you and I may say with Zechariah of old, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." Blessed visitation from and with the Lord. That's our theme. May the Lord's visiting with us today be again something so outstanding and life-renewing and soul-refreshing and heart-exhilarating and equipping as we go on from here. Let us pray this prayer then, maybe even for a first time, or else afresh. "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with your salvation. I tell you, no one has ever been disappointed, nor ever will be, with Jesus' visitation. No, never." Hallelujah. Amen.